Welcome back to OU All Parsha. This week is Parsha Shmini. There are a number of topics in Parsha Shmini: the inauguration of the Mishkan, the first time Birkat Kohanim is given, inauguration of the Mishkan, the erection of the Mishkan. Finally, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first time that Birkat Kohanim is given. We also have the laws of Ma'achos Asuros and Ma'achos Mutoros, forbidden and permitted foodstuffs, in Perek Yod, chapter 11. However, in Perek Yod, we have an extremely tragic, as well as difficult to understand scene. Amongst the ecstasy of Hakamas HaMishkan, there is a terrible tragedy. Parak Yod, Pasuk Aleph. Vayuchu b'nei Aaron Nadav v'Aviv, ish mechtaso, vayitnu b'hen ish, vayasimu lech ketores, vayakrivu lifnei Hashem, ish zara, asher lo, tziva, osam. The sons of Aaron, Nadav and Aviu. He had four sons, of course, Nadav, Aviu, Elazar, and Itamar. These are Nadav and Aviu, the two older sons. Each one took his fire pan. They put in it fire. They put upon it ketores, the incense mixture of spices. And they brought before Hashem a foreign fire, which he had not commanded them. Vatitze esh melifnei Hashem. The punishment is immediate. And a fire emanated from before God. Vatochalosam, and it consumed them. Vaymus lifnei Hashem. And Rashi tells us, it's Rashi 2 Pasuk. Hey, that two threads of fire enter their nostrils and burn their neshamos. Remember Moshe al Aaron. Moshe said to Aaron, Hu asher diber Hashem leimer b'krova kadesh. This is what Hashem spoke about when he said, when those who are close to me, I will become sanctified. V'al pnei kol ha'am ekabed, and before the whole people I will be glorified. Vayidom Aaron. Aaron was silent. Vayikra Moshe al Mishal ve'al al Tzafon b'nei Uziel. Uziel is who? Dod Aaron, an uncle of Aaron. Amram, Yitzhar, Chevron, and Uziel. Uziel was the youngest brother of Amram. Amram is the father of Moshe and Aaron. Moshe calls to his first cousins, Mishal and El Tzafon, the sons of Uziel, the uncle of Aaron. Vayomer aleim, kirvu, come close. Su'a sechecha meis p'nei kodesh. Take out your brothers, meaning Nadav and Aviu, from the kodesh ha-kodashim. V'mechutz ha-machana, to the outside of the camp. Vayikruvu, vayisa'um b'ktu natam, and they come close. They carry them out with their ksunas, the ktones, the kohanim each wear a ktones, to the outside of the camp, like Moshe said. Vayomer Moshe al Aaron ula Elazar uli Isamar benav. And Moshe said to Aaron and Elazar his sons, Roshechem al tifra'u, do not leave your heads unshorn. Ubigdechem lo tifra'u, do not tear your garments. In other words, no signs of mourning. V'lo tamusu, so you shall not die. V'al kol ha'ida yiktov, and if you display signs of mourning at the ecstasy of the Hashkamas HaMishkan, God will become angry at the whole nation, the whole assembly. And your brothers, the whole house of Israel, shall cry for the burning that God has burned. And from the entrance to the tent of meeting, you shall not go out. Pentamusu, you cannot stop the avod of the Mishkan. The anointing of God is upon you. Very, very difficult, shocking, and tragic passage. Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sacks, Zichrono Levracha, says the story of Nadav and Aviu, Aaron's two eldest sons, who died on the day the sanctuary was dedicated, is one of the most tragic in the Torah. It is referred to on no less than four separate occasions. It turned a day of national celebration into one of deep grief. Aaron, bereaved, could not speak. A sense of mourning fell over the camp and the people. God told Moshe it was dangerous to have the divine presence within the camp, but even Moshe could not have guessed that something as serious as this could happen. What did Nadav and Aviu do wrong? And that is the famous and classic question. The Medrash gives about 10 different answers, because Chazal grappled with what exactly was the sin that was so disastrous that this is what happened to them. Rabbi Sacks says an exceptionally broad range of interpretations has been given by the sages. Some say they aspired to lead the people and were impatiently waiting for Moshe and Aaron to die. Others say their sin was that they never married. They considered women to be unworthy of them. Others say they sinned under the influence of wine, intoxication. Others say they did not seek guidance as to what they should do and what they were permitted not to do on this day. Another explanation, they entered the Holy of Holies, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which only the Kohen Gadol is permitted to do. However, says Rabbi Sacks, if we put all the drashic interpretations aside, the simplest level of the pshat remains. The Torah clearly tells us about their sin, Perek Yod, Pasuk Aleph. Vayikrivu lifnei Hashem eish zara asher lo tziva osam. They offered a strange fire that was not commanded. Why should they have done such a thing? That's one. And two, says Rabbi Sacks, why was it so serious an error that they were immediately chayiv misa? The explanation that makes the most sense psychologically as to why they did this is that they were carried away by the mood of the moment. They acted in a kind of ecstasy. They were caught up by the sheer excitement of the inauguration of the first collective house of worship in the history of Am Yisrael. Their behavior was spontaneous. They wanted to do something extra, uncommanded, to express their religious fervor. Rabbi Sacks points out we have other examples of biblical personalities who act spontaneously. What is so wrong with what they did? Moshe acted spontaneously when he broke the tablets after the sin of the golden calf, Shemos 32:19. He comes down from the mountain, Vayarse ego umecholos. He sees the calf and the dances. He takes the luchos and he smashes them, tachas haharo, takes them out of his hands and he throws them. Rabbi Sacks says Moshe acted spontaneously when he broke the tablets after the sin of the golden calf. Centuries later, King David would act spontaneously when he danced as the ark was brought into Jerusalem. Neither of them was punished for their behavior. And I will add, not only was Moses not punished, God told him, Yasher kochecha asher shibarta. It's the last Rashi to the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. L'chola yada chazaka. What's Moshe's strong hand that he broke the luchos? And God says, Yasher kochecha asher shibarta. I'm asking with you. Sheskima dato dasamakum. God agreed. Good job. What may Nadin of you deserve so severe a punishment? The answer, says Rabbi Sacks, and it offers a fundamental insight into the role of the Kohanim and into our world. The difference between Nadav and Avihu and Moshe and King David is that Moshe was a prophet. King David was a king. Nadav and Avihu were priests, Kohanim. Prophets, Nevi'im, and kings, Malachim, sometimes act spontaneously. Why? A king and a prophet inhabits the world of time, T-I-M-E. Kings and prophets inhabit the world of time. To fulfill their functions, they need a sense of history. They develop an intuitive grasp of time. They understand the mood of the moment and what the moment calls for. For a king and a prophet, today is not yesterday, and tomorrow will be different again. That leads them from time to time to act spontaneously because that's what the moment of time that they're in requires. Moshe knew that only something as dramatic as shattering the tablets would bring the people to their senses and convey to them how grave their sin of idolatry was. David knew dancing alongside the ark, the Aron Kodesh, would express to the people a sense of the significance of what was happening, that Jerusalem was not only a political capital, but a spiritual center of the nation. These acts of precisely judged spontaneity were essential in shaping the destiny of the people. So where it's okay for a king or a prophet to act spontaneously, not so the priests, the Kohanim. Says Rabbi Sacks, priests have a different role altogether. A Kohen inhabits a world that is timeless. It is ahistorical, in which nothing significant changes. The daily, weekly, and yearly sacrifices were always the same. Every element of the Avodah and the Mishkan was bound by detailed rules. Nothing of significance, if you learn about the construction of Mishkan and the Avodah of Mishkan, nothing was left to the discretion of the priest. Because, quote, Rabbi Sacks italicizes this, the priest was the guardian of order. It was his job to maintain boundaries between sacred and secular, pure and impure. We spoke about that. We touched upon it in Vayikra. We spoke about it in depth in Tzav, and here we are in Shmini. It was the job of the priest, the Kohen, to maintain boundaries between sacred and secular, holy and profane, Kodesh Echol, pure and impure, Tahara and Tuma, perfect, Tamim, and blemished, Balmum, permitted, Mutar, and forbidden, Asur. His domain was that of the holy, Kodesh, the point at which the infinite and eternal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is infinite and eternal, enters the world of the finite mortal. It's a finite space where infinity dwells. It's a place where God the Eternal enters the world of the mortal. As God tells Aaron in our parsha, you must distinguish between sacred and profane, between clean and unclean. The key verbs for the Kohanim were lahavdil, to distinguish, and lahorot, to teach. The Kohen made distinctions and taught the people to do likewise. Therefore, Rabbi Sacks suggests, like so much of Rabbi Sacks in his brilliant foresight and his brilliant mind, and his ability to see such keen insights in an understanding of Chumash. The priestly vocation was to remind the people that there are limits. There is an order to the universe, and it must be respected. Spontaneity had no place in the life of the priest or the service of the sanctuary. It is this that Nadav and Avihu failed to honor. By their act, it might have seemed like a minor transgression, but in fact, it was a negation of everything the tabernacle, Mishkan, and priesthood, Kuna, stood for. And interestingly, Rabbi Sacks takes us all the way back to Sefer Bereishis. This is what the story of Adam and Eve, Adam and Isha, in the Garden of Eden teach us. Why would God go about to the trouble of creating, so to speak? Why would God go to the trouble, so to speak, of creating two trees? Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDas, from which human beings are forbidden to eat. Why did God need to create them? Why tell humans what trees were and what their fruit could do if they can't eat from it? Why expose them to temptation at all? Who would not wish to have knowledge and eternal life if you could acquire those just by eating a fruit? Why plant trees in a garden where humans could not see them, could not help but see them, and then be tempted? Why put Adam and Eve to a test they were unlikely to pass? Isaac says, because it's to teach them and more to teach us than even in Eden, there are limits. There are certain things we can do, certain things we would like to do, and certain things we must not do. And part of being a human being is knowing boundaries and limitations. This was the role of the Kohen, and it is the continuing role of Halacha, says Rabbi Sacks. Both the Kohuna and Halacha are expressions of limits. To be a Jew means there are rules, there are laws and distinctions. Without limits, civilization can be as thrilling and short-lived as fireworks. That's his own words. To survive, civilizations need to find a way of containing energy so that it lasts undiminished. That's the role of the Kohuna. That's what Nadav and Avihu betrayed by introducing spontaneity where it does not belong. There are such things as fruit we should not eat and fire we should not bring. And as much as there are some things we want to do in life, a Jew must understand that Halacha dictates, Torah dictates, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates those times for spontaneity and times for not. And we must adhere to those limitations and boundaries as our rules of the Hashem. Rabbi Sacks beautifully proposes that that itself is the sin of Nadav and Avihu. It's not only the consequences of their sin, but it comes to teach us a striking lesson in how we live our lives and the boundaries that we may not breach when it comes to being a Torah and Halacha Jew. Thank you all. I wish you a beautiful day. And Be'ezrat Hashem, Kol Tov and a Shabbat Shalom. Thank you so much to all.